You're listening to Get Lit, and we are on the phone with Hamilton poet Linda Frank, who just released her book, Divided, on, that would be the James North folks. Well, that can win our good friends. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
How are you?
I'm really good. I'm, squeezing a lot of things in, and it's a good thing to have.
That is a good thing to have. Let's talk about your work and your career. When did you start writing poetry?
Well, I mean, when did I start writing and when did I start publishing? So I started writing as a very young kid. In fact, my parents saved my poetry from when I was like in grade 2. So I actually still have that. This is actually my fourth book of poetry.
Yes.
So I've been publishing since the late 90s.
Now, that's first of all, very cute that you still have those. That's great. I wish I had my grade 2. Maybe my mom has it somewhere.
Maybe you don't wish it.
But it's funny how you differentiated writing and publishing. What was it that made it cross over that line? What was it? When did you decide that these things you were writing in private could be made public?
That's a really good question. I guess I was doing other things. I was always writing. It never occurred to me, actually, to publish. And then sometime in the 90s, some other things that creative projects that I was involved with kind of fell apart. And I just thought, I wonder if anything I'm writing has any interest to anybody else other than me. And I just, I just started very slowly. I started sending things out. I think the very first time I sent anything out was to a local journal that used to come out of Mohawk College called Kairos, and that's a really long time ago.
Oh, I remember Kairos,
And they took, like 5 or 6 poems, and I thought, wow. Little did I know that was extremely rare to happen, but I had really positive feedback, and from then I just started to learn where to send my work out to. I read all the literary journals in Canada and just began to send them out to journals.
It's a little bit of research, isn't it?
It's a lot of research.
You really need to, target a little bit. You need to know, who's hiring what, or who's printing what,
Yeah, as I remember once, actually, I did send a poem to a journal, and they rejected me by saying, perhaps you should take a look at our journal. And it turned out it was like a science fiction magazine. So I learned my lesson,
That's a good lesson to learn, especially when you're younger, right?
Yeah.
And it can be, and today, I think there's not as many journals, but there's so many publishers.
Well, are there?
I feel like there are. I feel like there has been an increase, and there's more poetry being published right now than probably at any time in Canadian history, according to Jim Johnstone, who I was just reading that in the intro to his new anthology, which is an interesting fact.
Yeah, well, if that's true, that's great. The journals are declining, that is true. So it's harder to find places. So it used to be that you would get a sort of publishing record by publishing in the journals before an actual publisher would look at you for a book.
Mm-hmm.
I probably that's not true anymore. I don't really know, but that's...
Same thing with the Canada Council, right? You have to have the book published to get the... sore spot. I know, I get it.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your most recent collection. It's called Divided.
Yeah.
And tell me what the heart of this work is about. I feel like the first poem, the title poem, seems to kind of hit to the heart of what you're writing about here.
That's what I hoped. The first poem sort of does introduce, I think, all the themes in the book. So it started off, I actually started off thinking I would write an entire book of poetry on insects themselves. Real fascination with them.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty soon, as I started to do more and more research, because I'm actually a research nerd, I began to discover all kinds of interesting things, like facts about scientists, for instance, and entomologists. I got really fascinated by von Frisch and his bees, and I began to see that even if a scientist was extremely passionate about his or her subject, they nevertheless didn't mind torturing them. So, I started to think of that divide. And then when I did start to do more research into women scientists, of course, there's this obvious divide between, the men and women who were doing research and are still doing research. So I began to find lots of divisions that seemed to center around nature but could fit into a collection.
Well, I found it very interesting that I did feel like this was a slightly more educational collection of poetry than some are, just because, I mean, I didn't know, first of all, the way you talk about the insects, you would not think that would be a poetic sort of topic, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and they are gorgeous. They're so beautiful.
They're fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, though, there is a divide between being able to see one and say, that's fascinating, and the reaction you have if one is crawling up your leg.
Right.
Right? Right, which again, in the poem "Divided," kind of maybe is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
But all the scientists, and especially the female scientists who did all this work, and then were kind of not really given the credit that they were due.
Yeah, and it's not that it is all science, right? Not just
well, yes, that's true.
Right? That's all life. Let's face it,
and still,
social science as well. So yeah, I got quite fascinated by that, and. And, you know, I think that's a lot of women start looking at the history of women and begin to find things that they didn't know about and they think the world should know about. So I think that is in this book as well, yeah.
I did like that the through line, regardless of gender or sex, was the passion that these people, I mean, you have examples of people who really... You have these women who are working really hard to learn things, to teach things, but not getting very much in return. You've got male scientists going to extreme lengths. In fact, you read one poem at the launch for Wolves That Can Win about a gentleman who I think worked with...
George Archibald.
Yes. tell us that story just quickly. That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, I haven't really looked it up recently. I mean, that was written quite a long time ago, but mm-hmm. George Archibald is, I believe, still alive. He's a Canadian ornithologist who got really interested in the preservation of whooping cranes. And he started a foundation, and at the time, and maybe still, there were, I can't remember how many, but very, very few whooping cranes. So they were attempting to fertilize an egg with a female whooping crane, and she, this female whooping crane named Tex, kind of actually fell for George Archibald, and so there was a certain pressure on him to try to get her to fertilize the egg, and he actually moved in with her in her compound for, I think it was something like 7 seasons, dancing with her. And I watched these beautiful videos online on YouTube of him dancing with Tess, and they were successful. Tess did lay a fertilized egg. I doubt he ever did it again, went to that extreme. It took probably a lot out of his life. I know very little about him just watching it. Mostly mm-hmm. his poem came from watching him dance mm-hmm. and knowing what those few facts that I knew. But, yeah, he was, you know, here's not really a divide, except in the real story, which is
yes,
raccoons
exactly.
kill Tex. But, you know, I mean, not every single poem in the book, I think, you know, is exactly on a topic, but I think that theme does run right through it.
Well, I mean, how mortal they were, the fourth section of the book, does, I think, sort of settles into a different kind of atmosphere and emotional territory, especially by the final poem in there, Mayfly.
Yeah.
Which is just like an incredibly moving piece. And I just wondered, how did you divide it into four sections? How did you find and assemble all of these works? I mean, you said you wrote that one a fairly long time ago, so you didn't sit down to write a collection on along certain themes.
Actually, I did. No,
you
I
really did.
Did?
Okay.
I really actually did. It's just that this book, it's just it took a while for it to come out because the publisher that it was coming out with folded. And
I
so I then sent it to Wolfsack and Wynn. So in that sense, it's been a while since I wrote it.
Okay.
But, you know, I did. I actually set out to write a book about insects, and it didn't turn out to be about insects. But so they were all written similarly, and one led to another. So I would read about something, and then I would read about something else, and it made me go and read and do some research on something else. And that kind of is how it evolved. That last section, how mortal they were, is more personal.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just sort of brings everything down. I just wanted to show, I think, in the book that I too am divided. It's not, I'm not looking out and saying, oh, you know, you bad scientists, or, but that it's all of us, and it's in all of us. And so, yeah, that.
Do you think that in writing some of these, you were trying to find how we mend some of those divisions?
Yeah, I think so, and I think we do. I think we do, and I don't, sometimes some of those divisions we don't think of as divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just that, and that last poem, I did read a lot about mayflies and their life. They don't live for very long, and how they die. And so there's a lot of, in that poem, even though, you know, I know it's about a person who mm-hmm. did die, nevertheless, there is a mayfly in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was trying to do that. I was trying to, you know, weave the two things together.
Of course. Well, with great success, I think a lot of these poems manage to weave things together so that you're reading about one thing, but you're pretty sure you're reading about something else as well. How long did it take, sort of tip to tail, putting this collection together then?
It's really hard to say. The way I work is, you know, one collection is finished, and while I'm, you know, you send it off, and then it's out of your life, and while you're waiting for it to get accepted and then published, you know, you're writing the next one. So, for instance, I have another one pretty much ready because this one took so long.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this one took, I don't know, I guess it took about, they generally take about 7 years to do, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing how long it really does take. I don't think a lot of people understand the process can be. And I don't think, I sometimes think that for many writers, it wouldn't be that much quicker, even if they had no full-time work to do.
Well, sometimes, you know, especially with a poem, what I find is, you know, I write it, I take it to workshop, I do have other people look at it,
mm-hmm.
I put it away, and a year later when I look at it, I think, what was I writing? And so then I work on it again, and then it goes through its process again of with other people until it sort of hones in. When you do have a collect, or for me, when I have enough poems for a collection, then I may streamline them in a way to make them fit into, mm-hmm. You know, I may change something, or I may find that I've written about the same thing, you know, 5 times, and maybe, you know, that's just not going to work. So it's a process. It's a very long process.
Well, we're happy to hear that you have something else that's completed
you.
And on the way. Linda, we've been talking with Linda Frank. Her newest collection is called Divided, and you can get it through Woolsack and Wynn. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to Linda and Clara for being our guests today. Thanks to 93.3 CFMU in Hamilton, Ontario. Thanks to Afternoons in Stereo for the music. I'm Jamie Tennant, host.